Hey guys, Nick here with the Evolving Anger Podcast, and you're listening to Tackle Talk Thursday. Let's get it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Freaking giant.
I don't want to get bit.
Oh yeah! Yes! And I got that on film.
Okay, keep rolling. Keep reeling. Keep reeling.
Hey guys, welcome to Tackle Talk Thursday. It's just me tonight. Jeremy cannot make it, but I've got a great episode for you tonight. We're going to keep it short and sweet. On Thursdays, we're going to be covering Tackle Talk, and it's basically gear, tackle, tactics, just something, some little nugget to get you out there on the water and maybe trying these things or trying new things or maybe helping you out on the water this year. Maybe you already know this stuff. I don't know. But from now on, Thursdays is Tackle Talk Thursday. It's going to be releasing a new episode. So I'm excited about that. First episode today, very special guest, Steve Zupa. And I'm excited to have him on. I'm going to bring him on in just a moment. But first, I need to cover a couple things. I do want to thank Strictly Sail and Kayak Cincinnati, Ohio. Once again, I do an ad for them, but I feel it necessary to give them a shout out. Always, because they're such a great kayak shop, the best kayak shop around. They have great prices, awesome customer service, and they will get you in a kayak, and they will help you get on the water. These guys are the bomb. The Tasty family is amazing. So reach out to Strictly Sailing Kayak if you're in the market for a sailboat or kayak accessories. Also, New Canoe. I'm a New Canoe guy. Love New Canoe. I'm Team New Canoe for 2022 and 2023. I can't think of a better boat to be representing, a better company to be representing. New Canoe kayaks are versatile, stable, and they're fully customizable. I definitely recommend getting a New Canoe, and you can find those at Strictly Sail and Kayak. I want to cover the upcoming event for the Bluegrass Kayak Anglers. That is going to be April 15th on Green River Lake. I'm excited about that. It's going to be a great turnout. That's a big fish caught last year. I'm excited to see what's caught this year. So put that on your calendar. Sign up. It's on Tourney X. Green River Lake, April 15th. Also, we've got the kayak giveaway. I'm going to cover some details real fast. The kayak giveaway that we are doing at the end of the season for Bluegrass Kayak Anglers. Every event, just like last year, every event that you fish as a member is one entry into the giveaway. So if you fish five events, that's five entries into the giveaway. And at the end of the year, at the championship, we're going to be randomly selecting a member who will win that kayak. It is a New Canoe F12, Frontier 12, and it's going to be loaded out. Contacted John with Yak Attack. He sent me a black pack to put on that thing. The podcast is donating a brand new Garmin EchoMaps UHD 73 SV system that's going to be rigged on the kayak, ready to go. You just have to turn it on and fish. We've got a brand new catch board that's going to be on there. Strictly Selling Kayak and New Canoe have donated that kayak, so we thank them. Brand new Canoe F12 Army Camo. So yeah, if you're looking for a kayak, looking to possibly win a tournament-ready kayak, be sure to sign up as a member for Bluegrass Kayak Anglers. You get a lot of perks with that, and you get AOI points for that as well if you fish the trail. And every event, like I said, every event you fish as a member is one entry into winning that kayak. Got a fun event, me and some buddies, Dewey Lake, April 8th. We're going to have it on Tourney X soon. If you're interested in fishing Eastern Kentucky, Dewey Lake, April 8th. Shoot me a message. Shoot me a message on the podcast. I'll get some info for that. Like I said, it's a little fun event, not related to any trail, but we're going to have some guys come out and fish a few events this year just for fun. And lastly, if you listen to the podcast, be sure to like and like the Facebook page, the Evolving Angler Podcast. Be sure to follow me on Instagram, the Evolving Angler. Subscribe to the podcast and rate it, hopefully five stars, but you rate it however you feel, wherever you listen to it, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Pandora, The list goes on. It's about everywhere. Just search it and be sure to rate it. So, all right. Now for our Tackle Talk Thursday, the details. Got Steve Zupa back on. Steve's a buddy of mine. And I want to say something about Steve here that's kind of important. So, me and Steve have been friends for a while. Steve is a hardcore outdoorsman. He is very, very passionate about the outdoors, very passionate about fishing. Two things that I feel are very important to the podcast. Steve is also, I consider him kind of like a conservationist, if you will. He aspires to learn more about the outdoors, to teach about the outdoors, and he cares about the well-being of wildlife. So I felt like it was necessary to reach out to Steve, say, hey, man, how would you feel about coming on the podcast, being a co-host, being a member of the podcast, and being that side that I need? I feel like cover a lot of tournament stuff, and having that person that's well experienced and well versed, I guess you could say, on other sides of things just makes the podcast more dynamic. Steve is such an awesome dude, very intelligent on a lot of things, a lot of subjects, and I feel like it was an awesome decision to bring him on. So guys listening, welcome Steve Zupa as a member of the Evolving Angler podcast. Steve, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for the intro. I appreciate that.
I hope I said it enough to make you want to give me a hug next time you see me.
Without a doubt.
All this coffee burns. All right. Topic we're going to cover today is bowfin. We're going to give you little nuggets. Well, not we, because I've never caught one. But I know a guy who has. And I've actually had some people message me over, I don't know, a few months in regards to bowfin. I've talked to people who would love to catch one, don't know how, who maybe would like to do that this year. Maybe you've never even thought about catching a bowfin, but it's something you'd like to do. If you want a fish that's going to fight all the way to the net, I can tell you right now, bowfin's a fish. Steve Zupa, he has caught a bunch. And what initially intrigued his interest, correct me if I'm wrong, but where you were trying to catch all the native species in Kentucky, native game fish, was that what caused you to pursue bowfin?
Yeah, it was. So actually, so it all started with just fishing. I just fished the local streams, and I noticed, you know, I was catching a lot of different species. I'd go out one time and I'd catch white bass, and next time I'd catch white crappie and black crappie, and then, you know, yellow bass and this and that. And it gave me the idea, you know, I think I'm just going to go out here and try to catch all the game fish in Kentucky. So as I'm checking off the different species and going down the list, I came across bowfin. And growing up, a whole lot about them. The more I read about these fish, the more fascinated with them I became. And kind of borderline obsessive with them, even. They're absolutely amazing fish. So I went on a quest to find them. I had a lot of the different local waterways, but as I was reading about them and learning more and more, I was finding that it wasn't really part of their range. Before I get into how to catch them, though, I really feel like we should go over what the fish is. So, bowfin. The animals first show up in the fossil record some 200 million years ago. That's right, 200 million years. This is during the Jurassic period of, you know, the dinosaurs. And at the time, they were one of the dominant groups of fish. There were all kinds of different species. They were in freshwater. They were in saltwater. They were in brackish water. They were all over the place. Flash forward to modern times, there's only one genus of the bowfin family left, Amia. And just recently, it's been discovered that they're actually two separate species, but they live solely in North America. So from Quebec all the way to southern Texas and southern Florida, from Minnesota all the way to the eastern seaboard, in areas of sluggish swamp water environments, these are the predominant predators. They are top of the food chain in the majority of the waters that they're in. Amazing about them is that they're able to breathe air. They'll come up to the surface to take a gulp of air, doing this, they're able to live in water that is completely uninhospitable to other species. So they prefer swampy areas, and these areas may be low oxygen level. So their ability to gulp atmospheric oxygen, surface to breathe air, allows them to live in areas where other fish are completely devoid and unable to survive. These are survivors. Keep in mind, again, they've been around since the time of the dinosaurs. They are technically the perfect recipe for success. So,
yeah,
they're opportunistic feeders. They will eat any kind of invertebrate. So you're talking about worms, snails, crawfish. They'll eat vertebrates. They'll eat lizards swimming across the water, frogs. They'll eat baby ducks. And they'll even scavenge. So if an animal comes to the water, let's say a deer, dies, starts to decay a little bit, bowfin will swarm up on this thing and take off chunks and eat it.
Wow.
When you catch them, don't put your finger in their mouth. Don't try to lip it like a bass. Their mouth is full of teeth, and their bite is relatively strong. When they clap their jaws together, you can hear it. Gives them the nickname dogfish in certain areas. So if you look at the range, down in Arkansas, they were called grinnels. In Louisiana, people know them as shoepick. Down in Florida, they got the nickname cypress trout. Up in Minnesota, they're dogfish. So it's a fish of many different common names, but it's all this Amia species that we're talking about.
Nice. You call them fun, though, right?
Oh, underappreciated.
Strictly Sail and Kayak, located in the Cincinnati, Ohio area, has a lot to offer when it comes to the sailing and kayaking realm. From Hobie catamarans and Catalina yachts to a wide range of kayaks like Hobie, New Canoe, Feel Free, Three Waters, and Old Towns. They also carry products from companies like Yak Attack, Bending Branches, Torquedo, Amped Outdoor Batteries, and the list goes on. So if you're in the market for a new sailboat or kayak, reach out to my friends there for great prices and awesome customer service. Chances are, if you need it, they have it. Or they can order it and have it to you quick, fast, and in a hurry. So these guys have been doing this a long time. So they know their stuff. So give them a call at 513-984-1907 or visit their website at strictlysailinc.com.
You see, a lot of bass fishermen will go out and they'll be trying to bass fish. And these bowfin, they're so strong, they're so powerful, and their bite is so strong. If they were to bite a hold of your nice, expensive bass bait, there's a good chance they'll mangle it, or they'll snap your line. They'll teeth in the absolute power of these things. When they're fighting you, they have a tendency to go for really thick vegetation. So even if you think you're ready, you might not be. They still might get the edge on you, taking you into, you know, log jams and swimming in paths they've created in the water weeds. They're nice. Quite amazing. So when it comes to fishing for them, in certain areas, you can fish for them like bass. You know, you can use topwater baits. They prey pretty heavily on frogs in certain areas. So frog mimic baits work well. Crawfish mimic baits seem to really work well for them. You can use soft plastics. They're so aggressive when it comes to feeding that there's no one particular method that you have to do. I mean, if you put it out and it's moving in front of them, they're probably going to hit it. They have another nickname, and it's mud musky, because of that tendency. Because when they strike with a big burst of energy, and they put up quite a fight.
Nice.
Personally, the areas that I fish for them in, so first of all, I had to figure out how to catch these things. And I of course, read all this about people accidentally catching them on bass baits and where to look for them. my very first bowfin that I caught was actually in Ohio. It was at Mogador Reservoir in Northeast Ohio. And that has the Mahoning River, which is a tributary of the Ohio.
Okay.
Now, the area of the reservoir that I was fishing in was a real swampy, shallow water area. And I think it was July, so it was hot. This water's stagnant. You can see the mosquito larvae and the bugs absolutely everywhere. It was kind of a dismal place, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I heard a rumor that the fish were there. And I get out there, and sure enough, I see them striking the top of the water. And, you know, I decided to put a bait out. So I'm sitting there and I'm casting, and the vegetation is just so thick that I couldn't really use any of the gear, any of the, you know, the artificial baits that I had with me.
Okay.
So I had known about their tendency to scavenge. So what I did was I caught a little bluegill, and I used it as cut bait. And buddy, let me tell you something. They find that cut bait pretty quick if you're in the right environment. So that turned into my preferred method of fishing for them. After that first bowfin, I kind of understood what kind of environment that they needed to be in. And since then, I've caught them in several different states. But time after time, again, I find myself fishing in, like, you know, the thickest vegetation imaginable.
Yeah.
And cut bait has been my preferred method of fishing for them since then. So you keep in mind, they have a mouthful of teeth and they have that strong bite. So I recommend using either a very heavy monofilament or fluorocarbon leader. I'm talking like 50 pounds or better, or using a thin steel wire. And my hook of choice is a 1/0 octopus hook. So I'll affix that underneath of a bobber, put on a chunk of cut bait, you know, it depending on the size of hook you're using, maybe an inch, maybe, you know, a bluegill head even. Their mouths open up quite impressively, so they can actually hit larger baits than you would imagine by looking at them offhand. But if you can float that bait right above the weeds, you can, in clear water, you can actually watch them swim under it and then come up and strike it. So when you go to set the hook, you have to be firm. We're not talking about crappie here where a little flick of the wrist is going to do it. Their mouth is bony and, again, full of teeth.
So about like a muskie then.
Yeah, you really got to set that hook.
Okay.
But once you're in there, prepare for a fight. It's absolutely amazing. They're so energetic. I mean, these are fish from the dinosaur age, and you can feel that, especially if you're out there with like light action tackle. I mean, they'll just run you all over.
So what kind of rod and reel are you using for this, did you say?
To get the most out of it, use your bass rod. So go out with your bass rod and reel, take your bait out, your bait of choice. Again, they're not picky. We've also caught them on night crawlers. We've caught them on minnows. We've caught them on shiners.
Nice.
I prefer bait because I know it's going to put a smell out into the water, and they're able to find it even in the thickest of vegetation. Yeah. When you're casting for them, you pretty much have to get into the line of sight, you know.
Yeah.
Much like you would with a bass. You could be walking the bank, and you have to cast on each side of the lily pad and all the way around, whatnot. But when you're putting out a piece of stinky cut bait, they seem to hone in on it pretty quickly.
Nice, nice. Rewinding to your first fish that you caught, how did you feel, man, once you had successfully caught it, one of these things?
You know, it like every time that I set out to find a new species and I actually kept so proud of myself and just so happy, I'll giggle a little bit. Course, I got to get half a dozen pictures of different angles. And the thing with holding this fish is when you got it in your hands and you really take a look at it and you know a little bit about its natural history, it really feels like you're holding a relic in your hands. I mean, they're called living fossils for a reason. It's because they haven't really changed much since their appearance in the fossil record. And when they're alive in your hands together, you know. And it's just something beautiful and spectacular about that.
Yeah. So what time of year do you think is best to target these? I got a lot of listeners in a bunch of states, but I guess here around Kentucky region, you know, for a lot of my listeners, and I know that's basically where you mostly target them is in this region. What time of year is best to pursue those?
You know, the thing about bowfin is that there's never a season that you can't catch them.
Okay.
The people up in Minnesota are catching them through, you know, 6 inches of ice year round or in the dead of winter. Me personally, I like to go in the warmer months, and that may just be so I'm a little bit more comfortable in these rough environments.
Yeah.
But they start spawning when the water temperature hits between 60 and 65 degrees.
Okay.
They start becoming really active. And, you know, they even develop a little different coloration during spawn. Some of them can be quite beautifully colored and tinted in greens and blues.
Okay.
Get the fish, you can find a weedy area.
Okay.
Just fish deep in the cooler months. And as it warms up, you'll find them shallower and shallower. By mid-July, you might find them in 6 inches of water.
Okay. I know we've discussed a few times about me trying to get down there with you and catch some. It's definitely a trip I got to make. I've been so dang busy, but I would love to catch one of those and hold one of those. It's like first time I ever caught a sturgeon. You know, you were there and kind of showed me the ropes to that. And I've learned a lot, you know, from you. And since then, going down multiple times, and man, I've kind of learned a pattern and a better, to me, like you said, a better time of year that I like to go. You catch sturgeon all year round, you know, but it's one of those things. I kind of got my own little time that I like to hit it, you know, when I think it's best. But yeah, man, would love to catch a bowfin with you.
Now, the one thing to keep in mind is they are cold blooded, so their activity level, you know, it changes with the temperature.
Okay.
If you really want to experience the full fight, go in the warmer months.
Okay. So let's talk about like tools per se. With them having teeth, I know with muskie, you know, we like to have longer pliers. We like to have, you know, a lot of tools just in case, you know, hook cutters and things just in case, you know, you hook one deep, you can't just lip it like a bass, like you said, and just get in there and try to, you know, finagle a hook out. Did you have any special tools or recommend any special tools, or is it about like muskie fishing? You recommend long pliers and things like that?
Yeah, it's quite a bit like musky fishing with the hook removal. Those teeth are sharp. And so, you know, downscaled, of course, to a boat that we're catching are between 3 and 6 pounds. The Kentucky state record is a little over 15 pounds. And
God,
the world record is over 20 pounds. So they're not quite as, you know, they're not the same size as musky by any means, but you definitely don't want to stick your finger in their mouth and try to take that hook out. If you're going to go and you're going to target this species, I do recommend taking a pair of pliers. And if you're in an area with some decent size ones, you know, some 10 pound ones that are big enough to basically put your fist in, you may also want to take a set of jaw spreaders with you so that you can, you know, work out those deep hook sets.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. The thing that I love about the octopus hook, built similarly to a circle hook, but you can also fish them like a J hook on a bobber. But most of the time, you know, you hook them right in the corner of the mouth if you're using that style of hook. And then, you know, you're not having to dig them out as often, at least in my experience. But yeah, definitely take a pair of pliers. When they're worked up and they're energetic, they definitely pack a bite. And again, to hear those teeth clank together, it's a little intimidating when it comes to hook removal.
Yeah, for sure. My first muskie by myself, I was a nervous wreck. It wasn't so much that I was worried about getting bit, but man, it was just, you know, a lot to think about. I had a 40 incher, it was 39 and a half. I called it 40. Sue me. But you know, it was a 40-inch muskie in the net, and it was just a lot to take in. You know, wow, I caught this fish finally by myself. Then I had some tools, and I was like, okay, how do I do this? You know, with all these teeth, definitely didn't want to get bit. And it's not like they'd bite you like a dog, but, you know, you get your hand around their mouth and they thrash around. You know, you could definitely get sliced open. Got a couple buddies that's happened to, and it's not a pretty sight when you're bleeding all over the place. But yeah, I'd imagine bowfin, even though smaller, can definitely pack a punch. So you won't be safe out there. Make sure you got the proper tools to handle these fish and release them if that's your plan. Are these protected at all? I don't know much history on them in Kentucky here as far as like.
So they're actually considered a rough fish in most places, actually. They are listed as CITES, as species of least concern. So the areas that they're in, they're really plentiful. If you can find them, they're not in danger by any means. Now, I've heard different things. I've never personally tried to eat these fish. I just love to catch them. You know, they appeal to my biological mind catching them. But I do know that in Louisiana, shoepick is they're called. It's commonly eaten. People will make like patties or something similar to garballs with the meat.
Nice.
But then, you know, I was talking to some fishermen in Arkansas, we're calling them grinnell, and they were telling me that, no, you don't want to eat this fish. When you fillet it, the meat turns quickly to mush. So I assume it's like everything else. You got to kind of know how to prepare it.
Yeah.
But I haven't tried. If you want to, you can, because again, they're not endangered in any way. Most places don't have doesn't even have like a size limit on them or anything. But it's just, to me, it's one of those fish that it's so much fun to this species. I have no interest in eating them, but I could catch them from daylight to dark. It's exciting every time.
Yeah, man. Dude, let's link up. Let's go. Definitely want to catch bowfin this year. For those of you listening, if you're looking to catch a bowfin, maybe you want a little more info, maybe you got questions that we didn't cover, reach out to me on the podcast. Reach out to Steve Zuppa, Z-U-P-P-A. Reach out to Steve Zuppa on Facebook. I'm sure he'd be happy to help you out and answer any questions you have and help you catch one of these amazing fish this year. Steve, was there anything else that you wanted to cover on this or anything like that?
Well, we've been making some videos lately on Facebook. Like you said, somebody wants to get lately, and we're going to actually be doing a series. We got some new gear, and we're going to be doing a series this year on catching fossils and where we're going to target the ancient fish species of the United States. So paddlefish, sturgeon, and of course, bowfin. So as the year goes on, you know, we'll make a couple bowfin videos and I'll be able to show some of the fishing tactics and hopefully get in the water and film some of these guys in their environment. It'll be on the Facebook page, Steve Zuppa. And then we're also starting a YouTube channel at Kentucky Cave Dad.
Okay.
So if you...
You got TikTok also, right?
Yes, sir. Also, Kentucky Cave Dad. But if you're interested in this and some of the history and some of the different projects that we get into, give me a follow.
Heck yeah, man. You guys be sure to like and follow Steve Zuppa on Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. And yeah, be sure to message with any questions you may have and really would like to see some pictures or something. If you guys feel free to send those in. Just shoot them over on Instagram, shoot them to Steve, he'll share them with me, or shoot them to the Evolving Angler Podcast Facebook page. If you do go out this year and you catch a bowfin, be sure to shoot it to us, man. We'll share it. We'd love to share that. But Steve, thanks so much, man, for being on and being the first Tackle Talk episode.
I appreciate you having me on, and I hope that this inspires some people to get out and chase this magnificent fish. I promise you it's a good time.
Lord, yeah. Thanks for being on the podcast, and those of you listening, hope you enjoy this new series that's coming. New episodes on Mondays, new Tackle Talk on Thursdays. Remember, always love your neighbor and go catch some stinking fish.